I am going to regret not peeing, but I refuse to pee right now.
I hear you, man. We're just going to power through because I kind of got to pee too, but no pee till Brooklyn.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. They lived without rules. They loved without fear. But as the world changed, so did they. I'm Dave, back with my co-host that never changes, Mr. Ryan.
I don't follow no rules, neither.
And our love is without fear. he is Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, they lived without rules, they loved without fear, but as the world changed, so did they. Way too long.
That's a tag paragraph.
Did not realize that until I started reading it, and at that point, too late. If you know what movie that paragraph is from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter, moviesonup,
at
moviesonup. If you're correct and we pick you, you win the glorious Movies on Up prize package. Last week, as we explained so clumsily,
that's becoming a thing.
La La Land hit the theaters, starring Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, singing their hearts out. So we decided, I don't know why, I feel like this was one of my ideas that I just threw out there without thinking through. Let's do our favorite musicals. I don't really like musicals. I like Hamilton, I like Wicked, no movies for those.
Yet, give them time.
Yeah, I don't generally like movie musicals. So this one was conflicting because I didn't want to cheat.
Right.
I don't like a lot of the like Disney animated ones, so I could go Lion King, Aladdin. Like, I could rattle those off. I don't really like those.
So I left all those off because it would have been super easy. And I'm in the same boat you are. I don't love musicals. I'm not a lover of musical theater. So the ones that I am most familiar with, I've seen The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast a lot.
And then I had this deep internal conflict where I was very strict, and usually I'll stray a little bit. The music had to be a part of the storytelling. Pitch Perfect came to mind.
Okay.
Because there's music there.
Yeah.
But the music is there. It's not part of the story. Josie and the Pussycats, same thing. Like, the music is there, but the story's not advancing from the musical numbers. So I followed that rule. I don't know why, because I like Pitch Perfect and Josie and the Pussycats. That would have been like my top two.
Pitch Perfect 1 and 2.
Yeah, yeah, just to fill out the list. So I was like,
and
okay.
A preemptive Pitch Perfect 3.
Yeah. So I followed those rules, and then I thought, okay, there's stuff where characters sing, but it's not necessarily a musical. And it's like, okay, well, how did Enchanted and Amy Adams is charming enough. There's only 3 musical numbers in that. Does that count? It wasn't enough for me. This list was a conflict. It was a struggle.
This is what would have made it easier for you, and this is what I did. In my head, musicals are like The Sound of Music and stuff like that.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, where it's singing throughout. Mary Poppins, being a Disney one, was disqualified, because I disqualified anything with the mouse.
I have one Disney.
Well, that's fine. You could. I think it was back in 2000, or it could have been later than that. AFI did their top 25 musicals or whatever. There was a
best
ballot
thing they did since Sing the Sorrow.
Yeah, there was a ballot that had 120, 130 musicals listed. So I thought,
picked 5 at random.
Yes, if the AFI considers this a musical, who am I to argue with them?
See, I think I saw that list, but like,
in most cases, the ones I have on here, I don't think you're going to argue. There's
okay.
One you might argue.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not an argumentative type. On this, at least. I half the time zone out when you talk anyway.
Fair enough.
But no, like Metallica Through the Never, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like music documentaries, I didn't count.
No, I didn't count those either.
I mean, I guess that's it. I guess we'll go. What's your number 5?
These are all the movies that we didn't consider.
Sing us into your number 5.
My number 5 actually opens with my favorite song of any song that is in any of these movies. It's just a frog sitting in the swamp with his banjo, trying to find out the reason behind a preponderance of songs about refracted light. That is the Rainbow Connection, sung by Kermit the Frog, from the Muppet Movie from 1979, directed by James Frawley, starring Jim Henson and Frank Oz. The Muppet Show is basically a musical every week, or at least a variety show with a ton of musical numbers. And that's kind of what this movie is. It's not singing from front to back like you would imagine in something like Les Mis, which at one point was on my list, because that's what I think of when I think of musicals. And I like that one. But I like the rest of my list much more than I like Les Mis. And like the rest of my list, The Muppet Movie features several songs performed by lovable puppets. Not really. The Muppet Movie is, I think it's kind of the Muppet origin story on how they got into show business and came from the writers of the show. So the movie is kind of a great vehicle for those characters to do what they were doing on TV on a weekly basis, but bring it to the big screen, have some more celebrity guests in there, have some more kind of set pieces for sure. And I think they got a really great song. I love Rainbow Connection.
My number five, Too Early to Get Lost.
I was going to say, it is not a good sign when you haven't even given one movie and you don't know what number we're on.
My number five, I said there's only one Disney movie on my list. This isn't it, but it feels like it.
It feels like it's a Disney movie.
It's from 1997. It's Anastasia, starring Meg Ryan, John Cusack. This is one of those non-Disney movies that feels like a Disney movie. The look of it, it's more polished than most of the knockoffs. It's a solid story. The songs are really, really good. You Can Learn to Do It. There's a couple other songs that are like really solid songs. And it's a nice story with your rags to riches princess type story. But you have people like Kelsey Grammer and John Cusack, Meg Ryan, Hank Azaria, Kristen Dunst, Angela Lansbury. I don't think any of them did the singing part of it. I don't feel like researching it, though.
Mrs. Potts didn't sing?
I don't know that that voice cast did the singing, but the songs are solid. It's a solid princess story. It's there because I couldn't justify putting The Jungle Book on. Because
from this year?
I wanted to. If I could justify...
There's not a lot of singing.
There's two. There's two songs, so part of me wanted to put...
The old one, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's a Disney one.
And part of me wanted to put that on there
just
so that I could talk about the new one.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've seen the original all the way through.
That was a lot of singing.
Yeah. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy used to cover the Apes song.
Yeah.
So I would watch that part because I went through a swing phase when I was like 18, 19. But I don't think I've seen The Jungle Book front to back except for the new one, which only had two oddly placed musical numbers, which I couldn't justify.
My number four has a couple musical numbers, and I think they're pretty iconic. As soon as I say the movie, you're going to know exactly the ones I'm talking about. And it is apropos because of its star this year. And that would be Mel Stewart's 1971 Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, starring Gene Wilder, Peter Ostrom, and Jack Albertson. So you win this grand prize in a contest to tour a factory with, at best, a dubious safety record, undocumented workers run by someone who might actually be a crazy person. Not exactly the kind of contest that I would go out of my way to enter, but the results seem to be pretty spectacular. I don't really enjoy trying to watch this movie from front to back, but I do love popping by to take a look at the world of the chocolate factory that Stewart built. Every room in the factory had its own distinct personality that came through in the visuals as well as the songs. The songs seemed to have their own personalities too. And Wilder seemed to play Willy Wonka as sort of a Walt Disney type character that actually seemed to be genuinely entertained by some screaming kid being made to vomit after riding It's a Small World. Young Charlie is so straight and earnest, while the other kids are such dicks, that Wonka seems to be like the perfect balance of the two. Mischievous, and when something bad happens to the dick kids, you're not upset at Willy Wonka for letting it happen. You're kind of like, yeah, he warned them. They kind of had it coming anyway. In musicals, usually it's the songs that really kind of stick out, and that's what you love most about the movie because that's really what carries it. But for me, it's the visuals in Willy Wonka. I like the Oompa Loompa song as much as the next guy.
Oompa Loompa, oompity, that one?
Yeah, that's the one. But I do love just the oversaturation of colors. When you think of the Oompa Loompa, the song, I feel like you automatically see the little guys with the orange face and the green hair, like even the blueberry room. Everything just seems so distinct about that movie. From a style standpoint, it was phenomenal.
You know what I think of when I see Willy Wonka and how the color's done? I mentioned something that might be on your list later, and I apologize if I do, but I think of Wizard of Oz.
No.
Because that was originally black and white, so when you see the colored version, the colors are really distinct and they really pop out because they're kind of fake colors.
Yeah.
When I see Willy Wonka, I think of that because the way he did the coloring on that almost has this magical feel.
It seems like everything was technicolored.
Yeah, which when you watch Wizard of Oz, you get that same tone.
Right. It's like they added Red 40, the same coloring you would add to the candy they added to the entirety of the set in the movie.
Yeah, my number four is the only Disney movie that I've put on here. And it's one that you mentioned you don't like watching Willy Wonka from front to back. This is a movie that, believe it or not, I have not seen from front to back, but I'm pretty sure I've seen the entire thing. It is from 2013, Frozen. If you have kids, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's a tolerable movie. I think Idina Menzel and Kristen Bell are really, really good. I hate Josh Gad, and I wish that ass would have melted early. That's the weakest part. I can't stand anything with him in it. But the music's pretty solid. The relationship between the sisters is really compelling and it's really interesting. The first time I watched it, I was falling asleep trying to get the kids to just stay in one room. And I remember hearing Let It Go as I was dozing off and I actually woke myself up and thought, that's a jam. It's a great song. Love is an Open Door. Like, I forget the names of them, but I've heard them all a million times. It's a solid
movie. How about we go outside and build a creature made of
Go out
three.
And build a snowman?
Yeah. Was that it?
That's. Do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good song.
Seems a catchier version than what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And my daughter Kayla played young Anna and got to sing Do You Want to Build a Snowman back in April. I have it on my phone. I could play it if you want.
That's multimedia.
It's a watchable movie. My kids love it, and I like it because it's one of those that I like my daughters watching because Elsa and Anna are both great, strong characters, and they're not the damsel in distress that
strong,
so many,
independent woman that don't need no man.
Yeah, I mean they're not the damsel in distress types, so I like them watching this movie because it is enjoyable enough that if it's on in the background, I don't want to pull my hair out except when Josh Gad is there.
He's a snowman, right?
Yeah, he was Olaf.
Yeah, all right. I've only seen that movie one time. In fairness, and it was fine. Like, I get it. I get the Frozen thing, but I don't have kids, so that's not a movie that's on, like, repeat at my house. A movie that could be on repeat at my house is my number three. And if there is a movie on here that, if you were the arguing type, that you would argue with me on, it would be this movie, because it really kind of fails your, at least at first blush, your test of does the music really advance the story, or is it just, there's just a song in the middle of this movie. There are a lot of songs in 1984's Purple Rain, starring Prince, Apollonia, and Morris Day. I will admit, and I think anybody involved with this movie would admit, that it was pretty much solely constructed as a launch pad for Prince. The story is semi-autobiographical in nature, and while most of it follows the rather insignificant struggles within a Minneapolis house band, what comes out of this movie is incredible. The soundtrack was so fucking good that they retired the Academy Award category for Best Original Song Score after giving it to Purple Rain, as if to say few albums in history, let alone movie soundtracks, could ever hope to compete and win the same award that this movie won. Let's Go Crazy, When Doves Cry, Darling Nikki, I Would Die For You, and the titular Purple Rain, not to mention Jungle Love, is one of the best lineups of songs ever. And I will admit that, for the most part, this is little more than a concert video. But when the concert is this good, you gotta tip your raspberry beret. And if I really was trying to sell you on this movie passing your standards, when Prince sings Purple Rain, he took some of the conflict that was going on in the band, his guitarist and his keyboard player, they had original songs that they were trying to get Prince to play, and he didn't want to hear any of it. But then after his dad kills himself, he has this revelation, I guess, for the revolution.
The Hamilton song.
Yeah. So he takes the slow jam that they had created, which was the music for Purple Rain, and they go on from there. It was a catharsis for the band. It provided their healing.
I can't argue that being your number three, because my number three is almost the same movie.
It's Purple Rain.
It just came out a few years later. It's Cold as Ice, starring Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
No, but my number three does have a similar.
Vanilla Ice in it.
Yeah, my number three is similar. Prince passed away in 2016, as did David Bowie, who starred in 1986's Labyrinth. directed by Jim Henson.
Sure.
This is one of those that I actually had to look up. Six songs. I remember a handful, but if it was only three, I couldn't justify leaving Enchanted off and putting Labyrinth on.
I could easily.
I counted six, and I remember the songs kind of fit, and they keep the flow of it going. I feel like I try to mention Labyrinth anytime we can.
Because it's pretty amazing.
It's an awesome movie. I unfortunately wasn't able to take the kids. They brought it back to theaters a few months ago, I think. I did want to get the kids to see it, but by the time I had found out about it, we had just watched it like 2 days ago. I couldn't really bend my schedule to go.
Hey, kids, you want to see this again?
Yeah, yeah. So
I watched it a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters. I remember my Aunt Laura had taken me and my brother Gary to see it. So it's a fun movie. It's cool. I mean, fun may be the odd weird word because it's story of a teenage girl that sucks at babysitting trying to find the kid that she lost in this weird monsteral world. That's monsteral's not a word, but
it probably is.
Monsterful?
Full of monsters.
Monstrous. But that monstrous is like something that is as a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, full of monsters.
Well, the world had characteristics of a monster.
Yeah.
And it was also
especially
full of
now. Yeah, no, but it's a fun movie. I enjoy it. I like it. And David Bowie sings. So it's my number three.
My number two is, when I was trying to put these on here, they're not necessarily in order of my favorite. Because at any given time, like, Purple Rain's my favorite. Like, that's amazing. The Muppet movie is probably my favorite. Or my number one is my favorite. But I was kind of putting them in terms of their significance. And in my number two, the significance of the movie itself is actually dwarfed by the significance of everything around the movie. And that is 1975's Rocky Horror Picture Show, directed by Jim Sharman, starring Tim Curry, Susan Sarandon, Barry Boswick. Rewatchability is not necessarily the sole determining factor on the greatness of any movie, this movie specifically. Schindler's List is a great movie, but I'm not really in a rush to see that one again anytime soon. After you know the plot, I think every movie loses some of the magic. But Rocky Horror seems to be the exception to that rule. Well, I think the musical itself is great. Meatloaf is awesome. I love him. And Tim Curry is just magic. The greatness of this movie is in the audience. From the shadow performers that act out the movie either right below where it's being played or right in front of it, depending on where you're at, to the audience participation, throwing various foods and papers at the screen. The experience of this movie has really taken a life of its own. Maybe the first, maybe not, but certainly the best midnight movie ever. It would still warrant a place on this list, even with the cultural stuff notwithstanding. But all that stuff makes the Rocky Horror Picture Show like a living, breathing part of pop culture that, you know, you talked about wanting to take your kids to see Labyrinth in the theater, which would be cool for sure. You get a little bit extra seeing anything in a theater as opposed to seeing it in your living room. But this is something that it's like seeing Prince in concert. You can listen to an album and it's just not the same. The energy isn't the same. And seeing Rocky Horror, even if they do a live show on Fox or whatever they tried.
They just did a couple weeks, like right. A month or a couple months back.
Yeah. Didn't work so well. This movie, you might enjoy it watching it on cable television throughout the month of October, but you gotta see it. You gotta go. You gotta see it live.
I actually don't know why. That Laverne Cox was pretty good in that. Her and I liked Victoria Justice in it.
I mean, the cast was fine.
I mean, those two
Tim
performances
Curry was still
were good.
Around.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Lambert was all right.
My number two, not as much of a cult icon as whatever you just said. Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Indeed.
But my number two, it fits me. You have a story about two rival crime syndicates starting a turf war. That movie is right up my alley, all right? I like crime movies. I like turf wars. And then you say it's written and directed by my favorite rapper of all time, Sticky Fingers, and you have my number two, 2009's A Day in the Life, written and directed by Sticky Fingers of Onyx. Fredro Starr from Onyx also appears. You have Corrupt in there. But the actors, you have Michael Kenneth William, Michael Rapaport, Omar Epps, Clarence Williams III, Lil Zane's in there. It's a nice mix between actual rappers and actual actors. And the rappers have to act, and the actors get to rap, so you get to see Rapaport rapping.
Rappaport.
It's a unique movie. It's definitely one that I understand It's not for everybody. But it's this really unique thing that in no world should work, but it kind of does. And maybe it's just Onyx is my favorite rap group of all time. Sticky Fingers has my favorite voice in rap of all time, my favorite verse of rap of all time. So, I mean, I have high expectations of anything Sticky Fingers does. And I like this. I like that he had, because him and Fredro both had little acting. Sticky Fingers was Blade on the Blade TV show. Fredro had a nice little run in movies. So they came together for this, and they're both in it. And it's a legit crime movie with a rapping soundtrack. And I actually really dig it a lot. I hope I didn't take your number one.
You
that.
Didn't, actually. My number one is a movie that once you kind of get past all the bullshit of trying to figure out what a musical is, I don't consider this. I mean, it is a musical, 100%. It would not be the first movie that I would think of when I think of musicals. I think of West Side Story, Turf Wars, and I think of, like, Les Mis. But it is impossible to argue that South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is not a musical.
It's also my number one and the first movie that came to mind.
Excellent.
For the longest time, it was the only movie on my list.
Fair enough. As great as South Park is week in and week out, I think that this movie specifically is where these two shine the most. It's the perfect outlet for everything that Stone and Parker do creatively. Based solely off seeing this movie, it's easy to see how these guys could have a massively successful Broadway show in the Book of Mormon. They're just as adept at writing great songs as they are at crafting a fart joke. Sometimes they even put a great fart joke in a great song. Completely free to take on society with a couple well-placed F-bombs to a musical accompaniment. When you're doing a movie adaptation of a television show, it's easy to come across as just a cash grab.
A long episode.
Right, a long episode, or, oh, hey, we can actually have the kids swear in this one. But this turned out to be completely worth the effort. In the pantheon of great South Park, this is up there.
Oh, yeah.
They certainly did not disappoint with it. And like I said, these guys, to be confined to a half an hour, they have so much talent that just, it's tough to pack all that in. In this, they got to do everything, and they did it wonderfully.
Yeah, this is my number one. It's by far my favorite movie musical. When you have a TV show and you get a movie, it's very easy to just turn that into a 90-minute episode.
Right, three episodes of the show smashed together.
The Simpsons movie, I think, fell victim of that. There was nothing really that set the Simpsons movie apart from being three 30-minute episodes. South Park added a whole new angle to it. They didn't just make a full feature-length movie. They added songs. And the songs they added are Shut Your Fucking Face, Uncle Fucker, you know, Kyle's
Blame
Mom is
Canada.
A Big Old Bitch,
yeah.
Blame Canada, got nominated for an Oscar.
Yes. What would Brian Boydano
do? Like, what would Brian Boydano do? That, to me, is on par with Purple Rain. Like, all of those songs are classics.
I have both soundtracks. Yeah,
they're both in my Apple Music. The songs are really, really good. And there was a documentary a few years back. I forget what it was called. It was 7 Days to Wednesday or something. It was a documentary that follows the South Park team from the day after an episode airs through the week until a new episode airs, because they literally put most of those episodes together in a week.
Because they're so topical.
Yeah, and you watch that, and you look at that creativity and that hard work that they do in that week, and it's not surprising that they did a feature-length movie and nailed it. It's not surprising that they wrote a ridiculous play and turned it into one of the biggest hits on Broadway. What I love most about Matt and Trey is they don't rely on the same thing. Easily could have made another South Park movie. This movie was, mm-hmm.
1999.
It's still, the show is still going,
yeah.
And we've never had a South Park movie. You don't think studios would pay for a South Park movie? They came out and did Team America, which I wanted to add, but
yeah.
those were songs. They were like montage songs. They didn't
montage.
Yeah, they didn't advance the story, so I didn't count it. I wanted to, and for a second, my number one and number two were South Park and
Team America,
and I could have put Cannibal number three.
Yeah,
and I
Cannibal
think
the Musical.
Cannibal the Musical was like the first thing they did, and I say they don't repeat themselves, but I feel like South Park was just like we made this musical in Cannibal when nobody cared who we were, nobody knew who we were. Now we have money, we have let's make another musical, and it worked, and it's great. And if you take the musical away from it, it's still damn entertaining. Even then, it doesn't feel just like a long episode. It tackles a lot of stuff like they generally do, but there's a story, there's a cohesion there that feels like a feature-length movie. I absolutely love it, and I'll admit, my kids have seen it because I like sharing stuff that I love with my kids, and my kids like South Park as much as I shouldn't admit that. My kids absolutely love South Park, so I can't not let them watch this movie, and they love it. They laugh at everything. They think it's hilarious. So anytime there's a great, you know, family movie that I can enjoy with my kids, it's going to be
usually
hard.
Musicals are that genre.
Yeah. So
Frozen, South Park.
There any you didn't list?
I did have the most recent iteration of Les Mis on there with Seyfried and Jackman. I thought it was cool that you've mentioned it a couple times how they actually took the entire cast singing live, and that was the soundtrack. So I thought that was pretty rad. And I actually, you know, it's one of the few legit ones that I've seen and I liked. I don't think that the Lego movie would pass either of our tests, but if it could, that would probably be my number one. I like it better than South Park.
I like that a lot, but I wouldn't consider it. See, my thing with musicals is most of them, like, I like the songs, but I don't... Les Mis, I don't even like most of the songs, but something like Phantom. I love the music of Phantom of the Opera.
I've never seen that.
I haven't seen the Gerard Butler one, so I didn't put it. If I had seen it, it might be there because I do like a lot of the songs. I like a lot about Phantom. I had Wizard of Oz on there just in case I couldn't get to five. That was going to be my go-to. I had the Jungle Book in case I had to cheat. I had Cannibal the Musical. These were mostly ones that, like, if I can't come up with a fifth, I'll put it there. Ones that I had until I came up with my rules were Josie and the Pussycats, Pitch Perfect, Enchanted. I wanted to put The Last 5 Years on the list only because it's Anna Kendrick, but I haven't seen it. So it was one of those that, like, if I can only...
Into the Woods? How about that?
I haven't seen them. I haven't seen either of them. She's in both those musicals. I don't watch most of them. I haven't watched Annie. I didn't see...
Either of the Annies?
I haven't seen either Annie. I haven't seen Moulin Rouge.
Nope.
Chicago, Nine. I forgot Nine existed.
No, I remember, but didn't see it.
I don't really like them.
This list has a disturbing lack of Baz Luhrmann.
I didn't want to talk about Lion King or Aladdin because I'm not.
To me, that would have been, I could have done it. It'd have been a cop out to just, but those are good movies. So I would have been justified.
I don't feel bad putting Frozen on there, but if I'd have had like Frozen, Aladdin, Lion King, then South Park.
Yeah.
Jungle Book, Frozen, Aladdin, Lion King, South Park. But then I wouldn't have had room for Day in the Life, so whatevs. But yeah, that's our five favorite musicals.
And maybe La La Land will end up on this list if we were to do it again.
Maybe. Maybe Wicked Will if it ever comes out.
If we do this in 2019.
Next week, to keep with the spirit of Christmas, next week is the week leading up to Christmas, which will be doing another movie episode. We kicked off the holiday season with Krampus, so we're going to watch The Gift, which isn't a Christmas movie, but is about a gift, and people give gifts at Christmas,
right, exactly.
So it worked.
The thoughtful gift.
And then the following week is The Uppies, which is our last episode of the year, one of our favorites of the year, before we get into next year where we kick off the year with our worst and then best of, before getting back into our regular, here's a list, here's an actor, here's a movie, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, stick around. January is going to be great as well, so it's February, March, April, May, leading up to our anniversary. So yeah, stick with us. It is the holiday season. Be safe out there. If you're driving and listening to this, watch out for the snow. But more importantly, watch out for the other drivers on the snow, because that's what'll get you. Have a great holiday season, and I'm sure we'll say that again next year, next week, and next year maybe if we're still doing this. Yeah. But until whenever.
Keep it up.